The Yaks went out of business because they had both stretched themselves too thin on the four channel thing back in those days in the 80s, I guess it was. And also, the FCC decided that they couldn't have citizens ban radios unless they were 40 channel. And there was another design change as well that was made. So they made all these 23 channel radios that they couldn't sell. They sold, I don't know, millions of them. Well, they tried to, and to sell them in time before they could start the 40 channel guys, and the FCC said that they couldn't sell them anymore, and they had to therefore declare bankruptcy. And then, of course, Heathkit died also, so that was another thing that almost made me cry. And ICOM's got another issue. All these super-duper receivers they have are eaten up by the government for various reasons, one of which I can't go into on the air, but the one I have, the R7000, is no longer saleable by ICOM and for features that it has on it that the government doesn't want them to have. Want you and me to have, let's put it that way. But they can't take it away from me, so I just thought I'd mention all of that. Howie, I'm back on the... Was there any snap, crackle, and pop on this? Get up here. I've got the super-duper afterburner on it now.
Very slight, and it's not you. It's the repeater. The R7000's problem is the ECPA violation that it implies, right? Because it's continuous tune through the cellular band, correct?
Well, it's continuous tune through some bands that they don't want us to know about, apparently. And it finds them automatically.
Well, let me say it again. It's not they don't want us to know about them. We know about them. It's cellular bands. You're just not allowed to tune. I have a radio that's capable of tuning them. Now, here's the irony. Go to Mini Circuit's website. Buy yourself a broadband amplifier. Buy yourself a broadband mixer and an oscillator, and you're good.
Yeah, there had to be some, you know, reasoning why that's easily obtainable or attainable. I didn't catch the first item that you mentioned. What was that again?
It's of a preamp, a mixer, and a local oscillator, and built yourself basically a heterodyne front end for your existing radio, wherever the hell it is, and it'll be fine. It'll be absolutely fine. And you can buy mixers, and you can buy all these parts connectorized with a variety of different connectors. So, I mean, even SMAs, you just cobble them together like they were plumbing. I mean, you know, for the purposes that you're trying to do, at the frequencies you're trying to operate, if you actually needed to receive there, it's no problem. In fact, you can make a receive converter literally of plug-and-play modules and never bring out a soldering iron other than to tack on power to these modules. You know, the local oscillator needs power. Preamp needs power, the mixer doesn't, but you literally, you know, don't need much, and, you know, with appropriate filtering in the front end, you can even buy the filters off the shelf. Buy bandpass filters, or low-pass or high-pass filter, or high-pass or low-pass filters, or bandpass filters, as the case may be, to do whatever you want to do to keep out images and stuff, and, you know, you can literally buy it off the shelf as parts and screw it together with SMA connectors. I mean, it's that easy.
Oh, that's good. Good to know, I should say. But my one problem I have with the 7000, I have a power supply problem going to the digital readout. And the readout is fine. It works great whenever it gets power. But it gets intermittent power these days. So I got to find somebody, in case you happen to know who that might be, who could know, has the sophistication and the equipment to work on a 7000 to put the power back on that circuit. because it's very difficult to use it without it.
Go to the IC7000 Yahoo group and ask that question, or go to the ICOM Yahoo group and ask. The other thing you could do is email AB4OscarJuliet. He's actually a Canadian, but he actually has a VE7 call as well. But Adam Farson's his name. And email Adam and ask for a reference for who's a good ICOM shop, and not necessarily the ICOM shops, but people who are factory authorized by ICOM. You'll probably, there's a number of guys who are really, really good. They get high ratings. You'll find them. In fact, if you join those Yahoo group lists, you can actually look at the message archives and just look for the word service or factory service. Just search on that on the in their message archives. You'll find it.
Yes, I come to think of it, I had an issue, not on this radio, but another one, an ICOM issue, and ICOM themselves actually gave me a name of a couple of three of those guys that would fix it. They can't touch them, apparently, for whatever reason they don't want to do it. I guess they don't have parts anymore. I don't know what the issue is, but I've got a 220 rig that, I know what the issue is. It goes down to 220 instead of 222. So, that's an issue as well for that for ICOM, but not for somebody independent. So I got to get that fixed too, because it's a hell of a way. It's a very expensive radio to the 220 rig is anyway to throw in the garbage, and I don't want to give up on it yet.
Is it 375 or 371?
Give me a second. I think it's a 37A. Does that sound right?
FM rig, sure. No, it's fine. It's an FM rig, that's fine. But yeah, I mean, those are nice radios. But they're FM. The 27, 37, 47. They were cute for their time. Yeah, not bad at all. But one thing I guess from tonight I was just trying to point out is that you'll find that I think all of the radios are between 139 and 141 or 142 millimeters wide. And magically, they fit in the same bracket. I thought that was rather cute. Let me just verify that dimensional point here, since I've refrained from saying it before. Yeah, this radio is 139 millimeters wide. I've seen them as wide as 142. And they fit in the same bracket. They have the same 2-inch center holes on each side. I forget what screw type it is, but it's the same screws. They're metric. Wonderful stuff. Anyway, I'd encourage anybody to look at multi-mounting these things, but you got to leave some space in between. You got to let that air flow, and that's key. That's one important thing. And again, get rid of all those damn T connectors on the back of the red black connectors. Just hack them off and put on Anderson power poles and be done with it. You'll be a happier guy. If you're worried about them popping, take a small, cable tie and rip it through there just to hold the two facing connectors together, and you'll be fine. Anyway, if you need to pop it, just pop it with a pocket knife. It's no big deal. Anyway, N2NVRW2TTT.
W2TTT, WA2UMP.
WA2UMP, I'm Gordon, W2TTT. I forget your name, forgive me.
Gordon, how are you? Jim. WA2UMP in Pearl River. Just heard you on. Wanted to say hello.
Oh, hi, Jim. Is it Uniform Mike Papa? Uniform November Papa. I'm sorry. I'm just not, getting tired here, so it's, my ears are playing games.
I heard you on. And WA2 United Mexico Papa. Can't help but be curious about the prognosis for your hotspot. Go ahead.
I just haven't gotten to it, Jim. I gotta tell you. I'm actually at the point, I didn't want to say this too earlier, but I'm at the point where I'm seriously considering getting off at D-Star for now. I got too many irons in the fire, and I think the right and honorable thing to do would be to sell the hotspot with the attached Delinco radio that's been already interfaced to it, and laptop, and even maybe my IC80 for now, because it's just not getting the use it should get, and I'm almost embarrassed about it. That may be what evolves here. So if you know somebody who's interested in picking up the whole package, let me know. And by the way, I've got a spare hotspot board that's all wired to go. You can change the call sign and away you go.
Okay, sounds like a deal. Are you have you given up entirely on digital? Go ahead.
No, not at all. No, this is purely I'm sitting here on a pile of money that I'm not even getting time to operate, and that's a problem. So if I don't have time for it, it's just, you know, going to go away for now. I am playing a little bit with FL Digi and stuff like that, but that's essentially repurposing FM radios for that purpose. That's not quite the same, and I've got some projects that I am working on related to Raspberry Pis and small Atom processors and a few other things that I can't go into, both for personal reasons, but also for some cases work-related reasons, oddly enough. I'll just give you a hint that it's centered around my use of a Flex 1500 and some small computers, not so much the Raspberry Pis, but anyway, we've been messing around with those. I've got a lot of projects going here, and they're going really, really well, but I frankly just, you know, it's sitting here on the side with a bunch of stuff sitting on top of it that I had to stack on top of it just to make space on my rather expensive desk, but my rather expensive desk is really, really busy with lots of different things. So I think what the right and honorable thing to do is to take the whole package of stuff and put it up for sale and make it go away. I don't even have much to ask for it, but it would be the laptop, the hotspot, module itself, the Elenco transceiver that makes the hotspot sing and ring, and the ICOM IC80 with the GPS microphone. And I might have some other stuff kicking around. Oh, and a spare hotspot board. These are NI2O boards. They work real well. And I guess one is already interfaced and working with this Elenco DR135. It's run forever, as you know. It ran for a couple of years, and last couple of months I haven't been able to take the time to get it back on the air, and I apologize.
Okay, Gordon, that's okay. You know, the problem is I think we all have more ideas than time. You know what I mean? And sooner or later it catches up with you, and you have to prioritize things. So understood. No need to apologize. You know, it was a good report. WECA D-Star repeater. That's really the only one I could get. But we'll see. I think K2DIG will be coming on board, back on board soon, or at least I've heard the rumors of that. And I also have to do that. Interesting you talked about the Raspberry Pi. I was thinking of picking one up soon. Doing a little bit of experimenting. Flex 1500, I'm not sure what that is. I've been experimenting with indoor antennas here. You should see what my living room looks like. Right now I have a tripod with a three-element Yagi and a channel master rotor and a remote control. I can sit on my couch here and turn that three-element Yagi around. It's kind of cool. Kind of an eyesore also, but hopefully it'll go into a walk-in. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. That's funny, Jim. Anyway, very good. Well, if you have some guidance as to who might want it and how to price it and stuff like that, let me know. My call sign at ARRL.net will work fine. But I've come to that conclusion over the last week that this thing is just not going to get unburied till summer at this point. I've just got so much going on. And I'm real happy. I mean, my personal projects, my ham projects, if it's at work, and my work projects, are all good. Sometimes overlapping, but that's a different matter. But I really can't complain. We've made some really good progress on stuff. So it's a Flex 1500, by the way, is a Flex Radio makes several different current models. They have a 1500, a 3000, and a 5000. And now they've got two or more different models of the 6000 series, which are a totally different engine for digital signal processing, software-defined radio. Good stuff. And we've been playing some really cool games with them lately, so I can't complain. Anyway, anybody else have any comments, questions, confusions? We actually haven't closed the net, amazingly enough.
82DDK with some quick comments.
Sure, Gar.
First of all, to the I-7000 guy, I have an R-7000 also. Mine has been government modified with some RS-232 connections to it, and we should talk. Secondly, your Anytone Radio's manual is available on, for anybody that wants to look at the specs and stuff. Easy to find online. Number three, my Ripbox programming should be no problem. I've done it before, I had it before. I have an old IBM ThinkPad I'm going to use, so the computer should be fine. And fourth thing, just for you, Gordon, I dug out a Linksys 54G, and I was reading some of the websites that Texas placed in particular. Do you have anything special that plans on its use for Passaic there?
Yeah, our next face-to-face meeting, we're going to have a conversation about that. I don't think we'll have any demos, but, I might actually. I could bring what I have. I have two machines that work. If someone else has one, we could try ad hoc networking on them and see how that would work. So, that might be something to think about it. Give that some, consideration as well. Anyway. Let's see. Good Lord. Oh, all right. Never mind. I just was looking at some work email that just popped up. Anyway. Let's see. What else do I want to mention here? I'm kind of curious what your RS-232 and government mod is to your radio, Gary, on your 7000. What the hell that's about?
CSR Technologies out of Blacksburg, Virginia came up with a fancy little telescope page tracker stuff that I actually took a trip down to Blacksburg, Virginia and worked with the original guys on it. And it was used in a Secret Service black vans around the metropolitan area way back in the 9X mobile days.
Outstanding. Good. Good, 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 good. All right. That's kind of neat. I can imagine that might be a bit of a problem. By the way, I just saw something flash on the screen. The new Pope is a trained chemist. I love these Jesuits. They're just wonderful, aren't they?
I thought he was smart, but I didn't know a trained chemist. Okay.
I just think that's marvelous. Dear me, dear me, dear me. That's excellent. All right. I'll, all right. Let's see. remember now. Yeah, well, whatever. I'm just reading some comments from a friend of mine, two friends of mine. They're actually making good suggestions, and one is responding to the other, thinking that the first is trying to scuttle what I was proposing, which he's not, but the second guy interpreted it that way, which I think is very funny because I wrote the words, not him. This is for a patent submission we're doing. Sometimes every so often you get a chuckle over human dynamics of these things. It's like, oh, Lord. Anyway, but yes, going back to the Pope, yes, well, Jesuits are bright boys, as you know, and then they really do a number of critical thinking. They really do. They do a very good job of that. And number one, but to think that he had studied as a chemist is pretty impressive. So anyway, keep in mind the original Vatican radio that I guess was set up in the 20s or early 30s was set up at the request of the Pope by the Jesuits in the Vatican. Actually, I think originally at Castel Gandolfo, just outside of Rome. But anyway, but that's where it was originally. Go figure.
Too bad he's not a ham radio guy. We could talk to him.
Let me tell you a quick story. Years ago, it was noted that our Catholic Scout retreat in our archdiocese here happened to be on Jamboree on the Air weekend. And I happened to mention this to our then chaplain that, I was not going to do Jamboree on the Air because, of course, I was there with our troop attending the retreat. And he said, well, what's involved? He said he knew something vaguely about ham radio. And I said, tell people, he says, can you be on the air talking to people and just mention that you're at the Catholic Scout retreat? And I said, sure. He says, that's a good thing. Bring it. So that blossoms into a little sub-program area during the retreat. So, we always have scouty kind of things mixed in with the religious, sessions. And sometimes the two are incestuously tied, which is a good thing. And so, lo and behold, it has stayed in there for the last 15 years, I would say.
Yeah, that's one way to keep the interest up.
Well, it makes kids want to come to the retreat. It's another thing that they can do. I mean, we always try to do some unique things to that year, consistent with the theme. So, for instance, we camp not far from the George Washington Bridge. So about every third year, sometimes every second year, it depends, there's a short pilgrimage hike in the afternoon up down the Palisades across the bridge to a little park area that you might see this helix on the right-hand side as you come toward New York. And there's a little park area there in that helix. And so they go there, they say a bunch of prayers and have a short talk for about 15, 20 minutes, and then they drop on back. And the whole thing takes a few hours, and you have a rapt attention on the kids and adults in that audience, and some dramatic landscape coming across the bridge both ways. And in this case, Father Eugene will plant some ideas into their heads about what they just did and get them to rethink that as they go back over the bridge, heading back toward where we're all camped out. It's really kind of cool.
Yeah, on the Jersey side, there used to be a really famous nightclub over there, and I can't think of the name of it, of course, but it was very popular back in the, 40s, 30s, probably during Prohibition.
Oh, I see. Well, forgive me, but I'm not quite that old. Well, 40s and 50s. I was born in 1958. That might tell you something. So I'm still a punk kid in a lot of people's eyes, you know?
Yeah, I was born in 42, so there you go. Yeah, I got to get this readout fixed. To the gentleman who traveled to, didn't get his call, traveled to Blacksburg. Do you happen to remember, is he still on, or remember what his call is?
Yeah, Kitty 2 DDK. Gary?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here, Kitty 2 DDK. Just got to get the radio in the right position so you can hear me.
Yes, yeah, great. Why don't you guys take it? Before you take it, let me just ask, does anybody else have anything else for the net? I'm going to make a quick pit stop. I got to come back up here, and I'll kibitz with you guys for a while. I got some light editing to do, and hit the submit button on a patent disclosure and call tonight. So, anybody else have any questions, comments, confusions, requests for the net before we secure the net for the night? This is K2BARW2TTT. Good answer. Okay, gentlemen, I'll leave you two in each other's capable hands, make a pit stop, fill up my water bottle here, and come back up, and I'll join you for a few more minutes if you're going back and forth. I'd love to hear more about this myself, and I'll probably grab an HT while I go down the stairs, just so I can keep an ear out. N2NBR, W2TTT.
Okay, Gordon, travel on.
K2DDK. Yeah, I think everybody just left anyway. I don't know whether anybody's there to answer us or not.
Yeah, probably not. What is your handle? I didn't get that.
It's Gary. K2DDK, Gary. Over here in Patterson.
Oh, yes. Not too far. I'm over in northern Westchester. I sort of hiding behind Peekskill. I have a Blue Mountain type government, not governmental, whatever. I guess it is governmentally owned. It's Target Range, and what else do they do up there? They have various camp out facilities, I guess. I'm not sure, but they have been there for years, and I have to sort of sneak around them with either high power or moving an antenna around to get down to the Alpine Tower there.
I know the place well. And a long time ago, I used to go to that range for some exercises. As I mentioned to Gordon earlier about my R7000 here, I worked with those people for a while on different things.
Okay, yeah, that's an interesting facility. The Israelis used to come up and play with their Uzis in that location, Blue Mountain.
Yeah, I'm a transplant from Orange County, New York, up in Newburgh. Spent 55 years up there and come down to Patterson to retire. Figure that. I can't explain to myself yet. But, yeah, we're working. We're running on a retirement budget, and there's all sorts of computers and ham gear and everything else I want to get. You know how it is.
Yeah, well, I retired too. I was NBC. I was working for NBC for 31 years, and it might catch me on the broadcaster's net in the morning, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and on this repeater. And let's see. And then 10 years at Cablevision. That was a sort of a watch TV job, and you know, you had to it was always better to spot something that was a problem, that was problematical, before anybody else did, fix it. And that way there was good news and bad news. There was a double-edged sword. They never knew what you did, because you know, as far as we're concerned, your feet was up in the air and you're watching TV, so they didn't really need you.
I listen to you guys in the morning. I'm on my first cup of coffee. I don't feel like talking. You pop up on one of the scanners here, and I listen. But I'm not quite awake yet when you guys are talking. And on top of that, I got to try and get back to you on this 5-watt WC, so I figure I'm best left just listening.
Yeah, if you can get to the Armstrong Tower there on whatever you're running, you're in.
You don't want to know. I mentioned budgets. I'm running one of those Baofeng Chinese dual band HTs, which is pretty nice. You know, I'm impressed with it. Wish I had an ICOM, wish I had, but you know, we start out and then get what we get when we can. And this ain't bad. I don't like the receive on it, and it gets hot after I talk a lot.
Uh-huh. They didn't put, I guess you gotta have a little fan in there or something, or a fan pointing at it.
Yeah, I guess my mouth is too much hot here. But on top of that, I have Radio Shack scanners that can hear better than this. So, you know, it lacks a little sensitivity, too.
Yeah, that's some of these scanners that are around today, some of them are not so hot, and others are really, they really surprise you on the sensitivity. I have an old, a couple of museum pieces around here that I'm trying to either resurrect or keep resurrected. And just for something to do since I'm, as they say, since I'm retired. So, anywho, I gotta find somebody that can fix that readout. It's the readout itself, as I think I said, the readout itself works fine. It's just the power to it has got an issue.
Yeah, John, my readout works fine. I don't have the power problem yet. But if you want to compare them or something, we can pull the cases and look at them side by side someday. You know, and that's, you know, I got a service manual on it, tucked away on the computer. You know, right now I'm, it's not even turned on. I want a good antenna for it before I really plug it in and turn it on. So that's another project.
Yeah, I heard there's an outfit out in the Midwest somewhere, ham radio store, whose name escapes me, of course. And they, as I say, they've been around for years. And I think they have one or two techs out there that have this sort of experience, but I'd have to call them on the phone and ask them what their reaction would be to fix in mind.
Oh, yeah. I was divorced a couple years back, and my Radio Shack professional scanners and the R7000 survived. Not a lot else did, but they survived the storage shed for a few years and everything else. But I have a Pro 2006, which came out of a cell site. Ninex Mobile used them in cell sites for a long time. Really nice receipt. And I have a couple, a pair, as a matter of fact, of 2007 Pros from Radio Shack, which are beautiful little trunking, programmable, sensitive scanners. Started way back in 64 someplace, so I've gone through them all.
Yep, they do surprise you. And I've got a an old Ramsey service monitor here that I can check the sensitivity using that. And I have a Motorola HD220 that needs a little sensitivity training, shall we say. And so I got to see if what I can do about that. Everything is perfectly accurate frequency-wise, incoming and outgoing. But there's something in there that is not allowing the receiver to do its job. And I can't figure out why, but it is. There's a guy in Florida that's very good on those. He can fix them blindfolded. Or as we used to say, blind drunk and blindfolded. So he's retired from Motorola, I think, in Chicago or someplace like that.
Yeah, know a few of those people. I used to love to tinker myself. Sold antique service monitor on eBay about 3 or 4 years ago. I decided I wasn't going to do it anymore, but then again, I changed my mind. So I'm without service monitor. held on to the Tektronix scope, though, and, you know, so I pick and choose what I like. Right now I got the Tektronix scope, but that ain't going to help me with sensitivity.
Yeah, when Cablevision was transferring over to digitization, they needed a lot more sophisticated equipment, and their analog scopes, Tektronix or otherwise, had to go. So one of my bosses came to me and said, here, I'm going to throw this in the garbage. You want it? And I said, absolutely. I mean, this is, we're talking about a $30,000 spectrum analyzer, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Same thing happened. Hey, I had a run with a cable company, too, but that was way back in 68, before they were even bought out by Time Warner, a small little home group. Hey, working for big companies in general, and I've worked for a few government agencies involved, when the equipment becomes surplus, you can take it out of the dumpster all day long as long as you got your bosses okay.
Yeah, I know guys in the News 12 area that were in the Maranek, and they didn't need two studios that close together, so I know some of the guys in the news group got cameras and tape machines and stuff like that. Although they didn't, the reason a company called TCI hired me was to do component-level servicing on Sony tape machines, and they went away and they had to find something else for me to do, which was okay. But we had about a dozen and a half tape machines just playing commercials all day.
Yeah, I understand. Well, you know, if, I don't know how deep you want to get into your ICOM or whether you just plan on sending it away at some point, but I got the their service manual as an Adobe file if you want to take a look at the schematics and, you know, maybe a part will jump out and say, hey, gee, let me try that. But I got an Adobe service manual I can get to you if you need.
Actually, I'm pretty sure I have one. As a matter of routine, many moons ago, I bought the service manual when I got the receiver. So I'm pretty sure I still have that. So, and if I don't, I'll let you know, and we could go that route. But I'm pretty sure these guys in the Midwest, if they're still alive, would, or I can find out from the from ICOM in California who's their hottest guy on 7Ks.
Yeah, early 70s, mid-70s, I was an ICOM dealer up in New York. Definitely their ICOM first stuff, but I had access to all their information and their data, but it's long since gone.
Okay, I think you got a battery going there. You're down in the mud. I can't quite read you, Gary.
That might be possible. I'll change real quick unless I reposition here.
Okay, I'll be standing by for a while. And to NBR.
And to NBR, 82DDK.
I'm here if it's interesting.
I'm back.
Hey, no, I just... Batteries. I died. I didn't know whether it was the position or the battery, so I swapped batteries.
Yeah, you're fine now.
So I got some stuff maybe I want to bring in a little more than a week to that Monday meeting. Maybe I can get the this router up and running by then. I got a week. Lost again.
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm trying to think of that, the name of that radio. Oh, as I say, they've been around for years and years, that radio, ham radio store, I guess it is.
Okay, I'm here. I just, I'm just waking up. It's only midnight. I'll be up for another couple hours yet, but I know everybody else gets to go to work in the morning.
Yeah, not me. My principal assignment for tomorrow is to get up in the morning, get coffee, and talk on the CBS retirees and meet the lowly NBC type, and take a shower and what else? Go get a haircut. That's it.
Well, got my haircut left. Getting up and coffee is a good thing. But I think thanks to Gordon's review of that Anytone dual band, I think I'm going to have to run over to the local store here and see John, even though my budget's not ready for it, but I better grab one before they sell out. I've been saving nickels for it, and I wasn't quite ready, but maybe I'll run ahead of time.
Well, if he runs out, check with Gene. I think he might have some.
Really? Okay. I didn't know that. I was over at Gene's a few weeks ago to grab a Magmel, and I didn't realize that. I was just in and out quick for a Magmel.
Yeah, check with him before you call him before you go. I could be off on that, but give him a buzz on a twisted pair there, and he might he'll let you know.
Oh, yeah, definitely going to call before I go. I went twice and I didn't bother calling, and he had taken off for the day or he'd left early. I learned my lesson there.
Yeah, he works a lot by himself, I think, and, he's had some health issues, so he's got to be careful.
Third place doing a lot of advertising on the net is a place called Levitt over in Connecticut.
Okay, are they, there's another guy over there. Yeah, is that the guy? He's attached to several other, or is in a group of several stores strewn around the country, so to speak?
Never been there. Don't know. He's advertising a lot on eBay, and I know he carries them. But it's easier just to drive about the 5 miles down the road here and check in. Gordon seems to like these guys. He deals well with them. So, I have never been there yet either, so I got to go there and see what they got anyway.
Yeah, it'd be worth the trip just for the curiosity.
Yeah, that's right. And then I got to jerry-rig some kind of power supply that'll power it so I can talk with a little bit more oomph from the apartment. Last Thursday night, I sit out in the truck and listened to the TechNet. Because I got my 12 volts out in the truck.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, I got my, I have a very strong 12 volt diehard battery. They're big, not the acid, but the other one. I forget what they call them now, but they're very expensive. It's like a $300-some-odd battery. And it lasts forever. If I had a strong enough, converter, I could run my refrigerator off it.
You're right. I never thought about that. I could probably come up with an automobile battery and a small trickle charger, and it probably worked just fine for me for this purpose. But somehow I have the mindset of Astron power supply, 20 amp, which is, I like that, but the battery idea is to be even cheaper and better for power failures.
Yeah, absolutely. During my last, we don't have power failures around here very often, but other people do, because all my wiring is underground in my neck of the woods here, and so we're not as badly exposed to the risks involving trees and such. And but if I wanted to spend, I don't know, $200-$300 on a really good converter, sine wave converter, I'm sure that I wouldn't run it full time, but I would certainly get enough to keep, run it enough to keep the frozen food from dying. The last time I think I was out for about 4 hours because they had to repair a 13,000 volt line about a mile from here, and they had no way of, and they had to shut off everybody, of course, when they do that.
W2TTT.
Go ahead, Gordon.
I had to interrupt what I was doing here because I heard you guys reference a something which you may not have intended to, but I was over at Pep Boys today, over in Hackensack, and you might want to check with other Pep Boys, but I found that they have not just those, oh God, who makes those round cell 12-volt batteries? They make them in yellow, red, and blue, where the really deep cycle stuff is blue. Who makes those? They're not cheap, you know, those batteries either, but they last forever. If you need something that's, you know, between what I'll call truly industrial grade and the crap that you'll get as a, quote, marine battery in the normal auto store, these are really, really cool. I forget the name of the company now, but the model D30, if you just type D34 Blue Top Battery in a Google search, you'll find it. But they sell them there. Now they're like $230, but they often have, if you go to the Pep Boys website, you can download coupons all the time. You just keep an eye on them, and they're there, okay?
Yeah, let me see if I have it. I have a blue-colored diehard platinum, guaranteed for 3 years, 1150 crank, CCA cranking, and with a gray top. And the thing weighs about 80 or 90 pounds. And with my bad back, I had to, it took me, I don't know, days to get it up to the second floor of my house using the fulcrum. I had to go back to my old high school, how do you define a fulcrum type of thing, or a mechanical advantage, and, you know, with a bad back. Somebody should write a book about that.
Yeah. God, hold on, let me do it. I don't want to stay away from my document too long because I don't want to. Blue Top D34 battery. I just can't remember the name of the company. I just feel really dumb. I got a Blue Top battery as a vendor. Optima D34.
Well, this one's a diehard. It's available at your local Yokel Sears.
Right. Those are the kinds of batteries that I was referring to, that these are better than. But, you know, Optima makes really, really good batteries. And yellow and red are very common. You find those in AutoZone and all those other places all the time. But the blue ones you don't find. And Pep Boys is carrying them. And guess what? They're moving off the shelf because the guys like us. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, yeah. To me, it's not surprising because I've heard the idea from other people, not just hams. And, you know, rather than have to, you know, crank up your generator to the tune of $4 a gallon if you're not in New Jersey, and it'll save you a lot of money on food if you're that alone. You know, the first question out of Con Edison's mouth when they have to do something like this is, how much food did you lose?
Yeah, I don't think these things are going to be enough to run your refrigerator, but they certainly will be enough to run, you know, lots of LED lighting and enough, you know, for communications and things like that, you know, media and stuff like that, just to keep you happy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, a friend of mine has, during the last storm, they were out for like 2 weeks, and I think they spent, I don't know, at least $300 on gasoline.
Oh, I'm sure. Pick it up, Gary. Say a few thousand. I gotta type.
Okay, you type. The only thing I got to say about you is you're evil. I'm trying to say I'm budget for the month, and I'm gonna break the budget with this any tone tomorrow, because I gotta run in and get it before it gets sold out. And now you got me thinking batteries and power supplies and everything else. Oh, man. You're evil. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I have one of these D34s, and I've had one for over a year that's been charged by a solar panel and a charge controller in my yard. And it runs an industrial controller that's kind of a homebrew mess that some colleagues of mine cobbled together. Really lovely. I mean, really cool, actually. You knew what it all did, but bottom line is that it's had enough oomph to power it for about a year now, and I'm very, very pleased. And it chugs along, communicates with various networks, which will remain nameless, but does fine. All good. It's got all sorts of weird sensors on it, but nothing Seaburn related, okay? I'll leave it at that.
Does it know how to produce a good sine wave?
Yeah, with an Arduino controller, if you can believe it.
How much? Well, yeah, good. That'll do it, I guess. The reason for that question is that motors don't like square waves, and neither do receivers.
Very good. You guys talk. I need to type.
Actually, I got a sign. So, Gary, when I finally locate the name of this outfit, I'll let you know who it is. As I say, they're in the Midwest somewhere, and they've been around for 100 years, you know, since the Titanic or something like that. And and I'll see. Well, I'll bounce this issue I have off of them and see what they say. So I'll sign also, and KD2TDK and W2TTT, I think it is. This is N2MBR, 673, I'm listening out.
Yeah, okay, no problem, John. As a matter of fact, yeah, let me know. Email is my call sign, KD2DDK at gmail.com, google.gmail.com. And, yeah, let me know what you find out there. I'd be interested just to keep on record. Yeah, this thing's getting warm in my hands, so I think I'm going to listen, too. We'll give this repeater over to the Midnight Crew, I may go back and listen local on 70 centimeters. KD2DDK, we're clear. N2NPR and W2TTT.
All right, 73 Gary, God bless. I'm going to be here for probably another hour, then I'm going to bed. Enjoy, gentlemen. N2NPR. KD2DDK,
W2TTT. Yeah, I'm the night guy, Gordon. I'll be up for another 2 or 3 hours. I'm just going to leave this one and go back local on 442-000.
W2DDK, this is Ed Valeo.
Go to bed. You're trying to get better. How are you, Noel?
Truly bad news. As you know, it was supposed to be 6 weeks of incarceration, of which tomorrow I have served 4 weeks. The bad news is I went to the doctor yesterday. The doctor said, it's not healing right. I can take two more months. 2 more months.
Oh, lovely. You must be so pleased.
What could I have done in a previous life to really piss off the powers that be?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Don't panic too much. It's all going to be good.
I'm trying to figure out how to use my iPhone. I've got Wi-Fi to the iPhone, but not to anything else, because they already limit you to one. And that's a problem, because I have 3 devices. But anyways, it's a nice jail. I mean, you know, it's jail soul. Nothing. The guards aren't brutal. They do use a really cool spray after the bedpan. I think it's got some alcohol in it. What a shock.
I'm sure. So you think at least another 6 weeks?
2 months is 8 weeks.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah, okay. Lovely. So it'll be a total of 12 weeks in this fine, high-class hotel.
Yep. Okay. The situation is depressing because my insurance policy pays for an unlimited number of days in the hospital, but only the first 20 days of the nursing home. So I've got my $1,500. I don't need any more. I went out of here.
If there is a financial issue, then get the doctor to get you home with a visiting nurse that would be cheaper.
No. It's just not that it costs me. It's that I'm not making that money.
Oh, for God's sake. You mean you actually would make money if you got out of there inside of 20 days?
No. I make money for all the time in the hospital, whether it be 5 days like it was or 5 weeks. That would be $67 a day, I think it is, and maybe 68. And first, they limit you to 20 days in a nursing home. After that, you're done. Well, I've reached my maximum amount of check that they're going to send me, so it's useless to stay here anymore.
Nice. Nice guy. All right, well, look, me and my ability to have an earned income so that it can be taxed so as to pay for this unfunded mandate, because the Congress and the presidents have successively looted the trust fund, required that I leave. So in addition to your having the ability to drive up the cost of private sector health care, dear me, I gotta get back to work. I'll see you soon. I'll be here, though, until you all WTTT. Give me a couple of minutes to finish this tricky paragraph and clean it up. I'm trying to settle a debate between two people by incorporating their comments in a constructive manner, because they were talking past each other, as is always. Anyway, these two seem to have a way of talking past each other, and I always end up. One guy asked a question, the other guy thinks the other guy is being obstructionist because he asked a question. It's like, good God, he didn't sound obstructionist. Just wants to make sure you consider how to manage your way through some pitfalls, manage your way through the minefields.
Okay. So anyways, I would like to go home because I'd like to go home. The money's just aside, and it wasn't from, I've had this policy for years, and at one time I got like $150 a day. But as you get older, they keep knocking you down, and it's part of their, from United Healthcare, I guess it is. And at this point, I'm knocked down to whatever. I don't even remember. $60, $70 a day, $50 a day, whatever it is. I don't know. So I got 25 days worth. The 5 days in the hospital and 20 here. So even if it's $50, I'm 25. That's $1,250. I could buy a nice radio for that. Yeah. Okay, talk to you later. WTTTDN2OYO.
We were just talking about that. I got a very modest priced radio, $300, taxes and everything, for an Anytone AT-588 dual band radio. Works real well. Anyway, I got to get back to that typing here. 7-3. And so I'll be here. W-2-T-T-T.
So I can buy a dedicated one for each frequency. And brackets. And accessories. and a power supply that takes 11 volts DC, it gets up to 13.8. So I can run the radio, but my battery's dying. W2TTT, Antoya.